Welcome again to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman, and co-host, and with me today will be Mike Gregg. This episode, we're going to be previewing the upcoming match for Fulham against Bristol City. But before we do anything, I have to welcome my co-host back to the show. Mr. Gregg, how you doing?
Yeah, hi, Russ. Yeah, doing well. Looking forward to talking about the game tomorrow. And, let's see if, put Sunday behind us and get back and concentrate on the league, as David Hulley would like me to say.
Yes, he doesn't like that. I guess you could say our co-host, we're talking about concentrating on the league right after the loss there, Mike. Real quick, while we get into this, just share your thoughts about the match on Sunday.
Yeah, it was a bit of a damp squib in the end, really. I thought the players played a little bit like the crowd, which was very subdued and not 100% up for it. But Tottenham were very good, and I think sitting there in the crowd, and possibly for the same for everyone watching it on TV, first 10-15 minutes you realised how good they were, and then they got a goal. And we apart from maybe 10 minutes in the second half, we never really got going at all. And there's a bit of a disappointing, well, a bit more than a disappointing, but, we just didn't turn up. And, there's been a lot of talk about how the other teams have given all the Premier League sides a tough time over the weekend, and we were the ones who sort of rolled over, had our belly tickled, and went home with our tail between our legs. But Tottenham put out a very strong team, and they're not in the top three of the Premier League for no reason at all. So disappointing, as a whole, really, and some disappointing individual performances. People we've been raving about all season, big figures attached to them, but they didn't turn up. So I'm hoping, in a way, that's going to kickstart us tomorrow. They need to go out and show them what they're really made of.
I totally agree with you, Mike. What's interesting, and I want your thoughts on this, when I was watching the match, I thought that Pochettino really scouted Fulham well. He knew how to stop us. And it's funny, I mentioned this on the last show. It seemed like every time Tarkanini touched the ball, there were three players around. Stefan Johansson, three players around. So they knew how to really get at us. And I'm curious your thoughts on that. Do you think that, I hate to put it this way, do you think we were outcoached here?
No, I'm not really going to say that. What I'm going to the thing is, Tottenham came into that game on the back of two defeats. And, they needed a result to keep their season, keep it going. And so that's why they picked a strong team. And, maybe they, they would have looked at us. Anyone who looks at us knows if you close us down quick, then, we're going to struggle. But I'm not going to say it was really that kind of game plan. I think it was a case of they had the better players on the pitch, and sure, you saw it with the movement that they had. So I'm not going to say he was out-coached, but I would say Jokanović, I felt, did make mistakes in the way we were playing. Now, whether that was because of the way Tottenham were playing, or whether, playing Cabano up front, the idea was to catch them on the break or get the ball over the top, because we played a lot longer than we have done all season. And, without a focal point, and we might be talking about that possible focal point in a minute, up there holding the ball just kept coming back. And so the runners from midfield we're used to seeing all season just weren't able to do that, find space. And then I felt a substitution or two didn't really change it enough. So, no, I wouldn't say he was out-coached or, tactics-wise. I just felt he made individual mistakes in the way we were set up and the players who played.
Okay, fair enough, Mike. And we talked about this on the last show. I look at it this way. When you play a team like that, they have better players, so they were outplayed by a better team. But I also wanted to pose a question about the actual head coaches here. Did that play a factor as well? So that's the reason why I was asking that. But it does come down to the players, and they have better players, and that really was what was the difference here, and maybe coaching was a factor on both teams. But it really does come down to the players. All right there, Mike. Let's now get into a topic that I actually put on the Cottage Talk Twitter page and also on the Facebook page, because I found this interesting. We were talking about this on the last show, and I thought our next show we should really delve into this. So I put a poll up, and here's the poll question. Was it a mistake not to play Chris Martin against Tottenham Hotspur? And I had 290 votes, a good amount of votes here. The results are interesting. Yes was at 58%, and no was at 42%. So yes was, you know, it wasn't a resounding yes. It wasn't split, but it did edge it out at 58% to 42%. So definitely want your thoughts about the results of that and also the question. But I definitely want to share some comments as well. I'm just going to share a few of them. I had a good amount of them, but I'll just share a few on the Cottage Talk Facebook page because I asked the same question. Here are the responses. First, let's start with Sue Frost. Yes, we needed Hyde up front. Brendan Cronin, one of our co-hosts, said, yes, like him or loathe him, he's a good player who suits our formation. We needed the ball to stick up front so we could threaten more, but we lost it time after time and found ourselves under pressure in our own half. Chris Cox, yes, we need him back. We're too lightweight up front. Dean Rozier, here's his comment. I felt your show was really good this week, and I really echo the views of David put across there. The whole Martin situation has been handled terribly, and while I'm not a fan of him after the way he has behaved, I do think it was an error not playing him in the game, even at halftime when it was clear the plan A was not working. Okay, Ian Walworth, and then we'll move on. Was expecting him to play? Has he had a falling out with Slav? And that's a question that I have because it just seems interesting what's going on there, Mike. So thoughts on my poll, thoughts on some of the comments, and just your overall thoughts about Chris Martin situation on Sunday.
Okay, so I think every time we talk about Chris Martin, it's almost like you've got to put an asterisk next to him and the footnote would be Chris Martin the player or Chris Martin the person. So we all know people's views on Chris Martin the person, and I'm certainly in the camp where I would not want him to be playing for us, really, given what he did. And I'll add to that. So as you're aware, Russ, I'm with the Fulham Supporters Trust, and we had a meeting this morning, at our monthly meeting with the club this morning, which I can't go into too much detail about because we have to write the minutes up and give that to our members, but that'll be out over the next few days. But Chris Martin did come up as a subject, and Tony Khan was actually in the meeting for the second half of the meeting, and he did say that, you know, Derby never had a recall notice for him at all, and Derby would have had to have paid us money to take him back. But the club and, you know, have decided that he's best to stay with us. One, it doesn't make them any Derby any stronger. And, you know, two, he has contributed on the field enough to warrant, you know, still being in the squad. And so when we talk about Martin, you really have to separate yourself from what he's done over Christmas time, and it's difficult to do, but
it's hard.
But as people know who's listened to the show, I've been a fan of his in the sense that I think I know exactly the role he's asked to play in the team. So he is that focal point at the top where he holds the ball, lays it off, and the runners like Kearney, Johansson, Aluko, Aiti, all these kind of the busy bees, as I've always called them all season, you know, can go past him then. And I felt in retrospect, should he have played on Saturday? Yeah, he should have done because we lost the game and the tactics showed that knocking a long ball for Cabano to run onto just didn't work. And the ball just kept coming back and back all the time. And, you know, we hardly held it up front at all. So, you know, as much as Syriac, you know, looked okay when he came on, and Cabano, you know, has done a bit in the last couple of league games, then you have Aiti and Piazon. You know, I'll take Piazon out of that for the moment, actually. But those guys, Aluko as well, they're all very similar. They're all, you know, they're all runners, or you know, all pacey. But none of them can really hold it up and lay it off like Martin does. I still think Piazon's probably the closest, but, you know, the manager, for whatever reason, has never used him in that kind of role. So I still think, unless he's trying to change the tactics and go with a sort of speedy free up top, I still think Martin has a key role to play for us for the rest of the season. So, yes, he should have played on Sunday. I think he may have missed, or he was subbed the last couple of games, partly through illness on one of the games. But maybe because we got a result, he stayed on the bench the next game. I just, we'll have to see tomorrow. But I'll be surprised if he doesn't start. I think we're going to need him. So yeah, he was it a mistake? Well, yes, looking at how we played in the end.
Okay, very good there. Mike, listen, I'm going to give you a question now. This comes from Roger Lewis. You pretty much have answered it with your talk about Martin, but I'm going to share it as well. Again, our friend Roger in Spain, here it is. What should we do with Martin? Do we play him as he is the only player we have who can hold the ball to bring in others, or do we continue to freeze him out? I'm doing a David Hulley, and I'm sitting on the fence. So obviously Roger's on the fence here. You pretty much said play him, but let's talk about this a little bit more because I think there are several people here like Roger who and yourself that have a hard time separating the player from the actions of the person. So let's talk about what Roger just shared here.
Well, yeah, I mean, it is a we are all contradicting ourselves, really. I mean, what I would have liked to have happened in January is, the real story to have come out about what he did. But the main crux of it is he down tools at a very important time and cost us certain. I think he cost us the Brighton game by not being fit, by not playing. So how do you treat him? Do you send him back to Derby? Well, no, personally, I would have gone out and got two strikers and said to him, okay, just kick a ball around, in that field over there on your own for the next 5 months because you're not going back to Derby and you're not going to play for us. That would have been my choice. It isn't. That's not what's happened. And if we have any illusions of trying to make the playoffs, you have to use all the tools that you have available. He is a tool. In many ways, as we say in England, but he is there, and Jokanovic has used him, and we have got some of our best results when he plays. So I'm not going to sit on the fence. My choice, he wouldn't be playing. We would have had other options. We haven't in his type of role, so he has to be an option to be picked every game.
Okay, very good there, Mike. It's a difficult situation. He's there. I do like the fact that he did not go back to Derby County because I think he fits a need there. And I've talked to a friend of mine who follows Derby County very closely and says that's what they're missing there. They're missing that type of player in the way McLaren wants to play. So you are weakening a rival of yours by him just not going back. So in that essence, I think we're helping ourselves by not sending him back. But it is a fascinating situation because he fits a need for us. So can you separate the actions, what happened in January, to what the player can offer you? It's a difficult one. That's why I was fascinated by the results of the poll and talking about what he could do for us moving forward. It's a difficult one. What do you do if you're Slavisa Jokanovic? I think we're going to find out a little bit in the next two matches because these are important matches for Fulham. Does
Yeah, I
Martin
mean,
play?
yeah, Russ. I mean, I do think that it's interesting because we, obviously we scored a number of goals in the last couple of league games. But I think Saturday's style of play that we did with the, the fast players in the middle, it's opened some people's eyes into what actually Martin can do and can offer us.
Right.
So, maybe there's been a little, I'm not saying big, but a little change in some people's views in the fact that, they've had to shrug their shoulders and go, well, he is an option. He can offer us this. And so, yeah, he has to be a choice.
Right, Mike. And but that also opens up. He is, but should Slavisa, if for some reason he's decided, we don't know this. We don't know one way or another. Like I said, I think we'll find out soon enough if Chris Martin starts to play, but. Does Slavisa change things up? Like you said, he's seen what he has, and I think the Spurs match showed exactly what he's missing without Martin. Does he change formation moving forward a little bit more? We could talk about this in the upcoming match. Maybe this is an opportunity, Mike, to play three at the back and maybe two up front and find a different way. He did that against QPR last season, and it really opened things up, and they played a great game against QPR. QPR weren't expecting it. Lee Johnson scouted Fulham at the match against Spurs. You know, I was thinking off the, you know, I was going to bring this up to you while we get into our preview. Could this be an opportunity upcoming, Mike, for Savica to potentially change the formation a little bit and show a team different questions here? So I'm curious your thoughts. With the whole Martin thing, could we potentially see a different formation coming up?
I'm not seeing a different, well, it's how you call this formation. No, I don't see us going to three at the back or five or whatever you want to call it.
Right.
I do see us moving. If he decides, certainly tomorrow and Saturday, not to start Martin, then I think we are moving away from this sort of four at the back, McDonald sitting and Kearney and Johansson moving around, and then the two wide guys. I think we're almost going to a normal sort of 4-3-3, you know, with a Luko on the right and then one of the other guys, you know, Syriac maybe, or Cabano in the middle, Aiti out on the left. So kind of three pacey guys up top. And, you know, so he might be changing the style, trying to change it a little bit that way, be a bit more direct. I mean, one of the criticisms we all, you know, many fans have is the sort of you know, pitter patter of the ball going around but not getting in the box. But then on the other hand, you lose that hold up play, like I've said,
right,
and it becomes a bit more percentage wise. So it will be interesting to see what he does tomorrow. Are we going to see a slight change? But I don't think he's going to go to like two up top. I mean, he'll do it. He's done it a couple of times when we've been chasing games. But it doesn't ring true to me from what I've seen. He seems very reluctant to go that way. So, I mean, I was surprised Sunday. I mean, Sunday would have been ideal to go 4-4-2, really, I
right.
thought, you know. But he never did that, you know. I thought when Sessegnon came on, I thought they were actually going to go to three at the back. But, you know, again, he kept it pretty much the same. So, well, another thing I'd say about Jokanović and Martin is, I think it's clear as well from Jokanović that if you're not in his plans, you're not in his plans. You don't get in that. You don't get in a match day squad. You know, we've seen a couple of players just disappear and not be in the squad for months. So I think if he had an issue with Martin, then he just would not be in the squad. So I think he's just trying. You know, Cabano's come back and has done well after coming back from the African Nations. As is Aiti. So maybe that's just why he's, you know, been more involved in the last couple of games and Martin hasn't.
It's a great point, Mike. Maybe I'm reading way too much into this. Okay, let's get into talking about Bristol City. Huge match, massive match for Fulham. And I'm just going to share some information with you from whoscored.com just to get us going here. Let's start off where both clubs are in the table. Bristol City are currently 21st, and they have 9 victories, 5 draws, 17 losses. They've scored 42 goals. They've given up 46, so they are on a -4 goal differential and are on 32 points there, right outside of the relegation area, which is a dangerous place to be right now. Fulham are currently 8th. We have 13 victories, 10 draws, 8 losses. We've scored 52. We've given up 37. We're on a +15 goal differential, which is pretty good, and we're on 49 points. Here's some information on characteristics of Bristol City heading into this match. Strengths, very strong at creating scoring chances, coming back from losing positions strong, attacking set pieces, creating long shot opportunities, creating chances through individual skill, aerial duels, and defending set pieces, all strong. Their weaknesses, they are very weak at all of these tendencies here. Defending against attacks down the wings, defending against long shots, protecting the lead, and aerial duels. Their style? Take a lot of shots, attack through the middle, non-aggressive, opponents play aggressively against them, and they do rotate their first 11. Just want to mention just some team news from Bristol City, as I mentioned to you off-air, Mike. I believe Lee Johnson on the Bristol City website mentioned that Tammy Abraham is out. I think he's going to be out for 2 to 3 weeks, so he will not feature. That's actually good news for Fulham. I also want to mention that it's also been known that right back Mark Little will be out for this match as well. Again, some good news coming from Bristol City ahead of this match. Also want to mention on the WhoScored.com, their prediction was 3-1 to Fulham. That's also just interesting to mention. And also wanted to say that Tammy Abraham is their leading goal scorer, and the fact that he's out is certainly not a bad thing for Fulham. All right, Mike, there's some information about Bristol City heading into this match. Your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's good that Abraham isn't playing, considering how well he did against us earlier in the season. The thing that worries me is, of course, form-wise, they're absolutely shot. Then I think they might be bottom, or certainly close to the bottom of the form table. And as we know, anyone in trouble, you just pick up the phone, dial F, and we come along and give you 3 points, a la Birmingham. But, you know, the hope is that, you know, we're going to go there and get the 3 points that we desperately need. And, you know, it's only going to help with them having those injuries. But, you know, see, I'm really surprised at how poor they have been recently. You know, I mean, earlier in the season, I didn't think they were ever going to be challenging, but they certainly should be higher. I mean, they've stuck with the manager as well. And, you know, they looked at, when they stuffed us 4-0 earlier in the season, it was like, oh my God, you know, what's going on here? But, yeah, we just need to, you know, be on it tomorrow, and we can beat them if we play to our style and not, you know, not let them dominate and be the home team. And we shouldn't sit back. I've seen some fans saying, you know, we should be playing counter-attack against Bristol City. I mean, we should just play, tomorrow we should play our own game, what we've
Absolutely.
Been best at all season. And, you know, this is a reason why we're, you know, third best goal difference in the league and one of the top goal scorers. But they are dangerous. You know, see, they do score a decent number of goals.
They do.
But luckily they've been letting in a few as well recently. So, you know, I think it was a derby game. They were 3-0, weren't they? And they ended up
3-0.
I mean, that probably sums them up, you know, a little bit. I mean, they're right down the bottom, but their goal difference is only -4. So, I mean, you know, they score a lot and let a load in. But it's Fulham character tomorrow. You talk about the characteristics you get from WhoScored.com, and you can look at all of that. But tomorrow, following Sunday, it's all about character. It's about, you know, rolling the sleeves up, going out there and wanting those 3 points. And that's the main thing for us. We want those 3 points. And I wish I was going tomorrow, but I can't because of work. Because, you know, Bristol City, it's decent ground to watch a game at. And, you know, their fans can be quite noisy and passionate. But, yeah, we just got to play our own game. And but Abraham being out is a big, big plus for us.
Absolutely, Mike. It really is. He has scored 18 goals for them so far. And taking him out of the mix, you know, listen, they have other players that can score. I think this is a massive loss for them. So it can only help us. That's the way I look at it. But, of course, I've said that in other matches when teams are losing key players, it didn't matter. But let's hope it actually makes a difference in this upcoming match between these two teams. All right. Let's talk about key players. Who are your key players tomorrow?
Well, funny enough, you actually mentioned to me off air before the game about Cottrell being
yes.
there for Bristol City. I mean, he's given us a torrid time.
He has. That's the reason why I brought him up.
Yeah, for Birmingham. So whoever plays sort of left back, left side as well, they're going to have their hands full. So he's going to be a key player against us. But, you know, tomorrow it's going to be, oddly enough, I think it's going to be the two centre-backs, whoever they are, and Kearney. Kearney needs to dominate a game again, you know, especially following Sunday. There's lots of doubts now from some of the fans whether he's, you know, too one-footed and, you know, he's not as good as the 10 million plus price tags. And, yeah, so you need a man of match performance from Kearney tomorrow. And the two centre-backs need to get their acts together, whoever that is who's picked.
Okay, very good. Mike, I want to ask you about something that Emilio and I were talking off-air yesterday. It was about Stefan Johansson. You brought up Kearney. He brought up Johansson. He said that Johansson, when he doesn't play well, Fulham don't play well. I'm paraphrasing a little bit, that there have been some off matches. One good match to every three matches. What are your thoughts on that, that he feels he's not really played to his potential lately?
Well, I mean, there's a real truth in that. And as most people know, I do the man and match stats and that kind of stuff. And so I can see, you know, on the spreadsheet how his scores have actually decreased. So, I mean, okay, that's only fans giving their view on his performances. And maybe he set such a high standard, especially over that run of seven games where he was man of the match for five of them. You know, I mean, he was getting really great scores and great stats as well, you know, from his goals and his passing and everything. But, yeah, he certainly... I think he's struggling with the amount of game. I mean, those three midfielders are playing week in, week out, virtually every 90 minutes. McDonald went off the other day, you know, hobbling a bit. He went off, that was an injury substitution. I don't know if that came across on TV, but he signalled to the bench he wanted to come off. So my hope is that he's okay. But, you know, then I expect Parker to come in, you know, if he isn't. But, yeah, Johansson, he was invisible first half on Sunday. Little bit better second half. But his performance levels, I would say, for the last three games, last three league games, have been well below par, even though we won, you know, the last two. So, again, you know, maybe he's a player who needs to step up and show what he's got. And that's one of the areas when we talk about January and players not coming in. I've said it before, you know, those two creative midfield places, Johansson and Kearney, who goes there if one of those guys gets injured? Because I don't see it as Parker. I don't see it as the guy we bought in January, Pestos, who's actually injured. I didn't realise that.
Yeah.
So who's going to go there? Because I don't see it being, you know, are we going to ask like Cabano or Piazon or someone else to play that role? Because we haven't got anyone who can go into that position. So
great point.
But, you know, as a group, those three in midfield are the three, you know, possibly the three best midfielders in the league. And, you know, but they're being asked to play a lot of minutes at the moment. And maybe Johansson just needs a second win from somewhere.
Yeah, it's a good point. Emilio described them as the engine for Fulham, and I agree with that. And when it's not firing on all cylinders, the club doesn't run correctly. So it's a good point, and that's why I wanted to bring that up and get your thoughts, and thank you for sharing that, Mike. All right, let's talk about how Fulham win this match. You've already talked about it a little bit, basically take it to him. So is there anything else you want to add to how Fulham can win this match tomorrow against Bristol City?
I think, yeah, I've sort of covered it. For me, it's about attitude and attitude from the very first whistle, really. If we are in any way sort of turning up expecting to get a result or not willing to put in the hard yards, then we won't get anything, even though their form is atrocious. I really want us to see us wanting those 3 points. And we've shown it in the last couple of games. You know, I mean, the Forest game the last couple of league games, the Forest game and the Wigan game, both of those showed that we have some grit and determination to get ourselves out of a hole sometimes and battle for those 3 points. But we need to see it tomorrow in an away game because we never showed it at Birmingham at all. And, you know, Burton was fairly easy and then Reading was a loss as well. So, you know, our away form has not been great. So it's a very important week for us. And it you know, starts tomorrow with what I consider the easiest 3 points out of the two games, if we're going to get any.
I totally agree with that, Mike. I think the more difficult match is going to be Saturday because remember Neil Warnock after the FA Cup match, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, he basically said that Fulham are going to see a different team the next time they come, and I expect that as well. So
yeah. This
is the one where if you're thinking that they need 4 points, you've mentioned this, Mike, that they need 4 points out of the next two, this is the one that you kind of have to bank. You have to bank the three because the one on Saturday, I agree with you, is going to be much harder because that's a determined team right now, Cardiff City under Warnock, and you know what to expect from Neil Warnock, and I expect something different this time around. So this is the match. Got to get the 3 points. All right, Mike, we talked about players. What's your starting 11 tomorrow?
Yeah, so I mean, I think he will make a few changes. Well, so this is the team I would put out then.
Okay.
Okay, I mean, goalkeeper wise, I don't think Bettinelli did himself that many favors on Sunday. So, he's not made changes before. So I think Button obviously is going to come straight back in. I mean, Fredericks is back from his suspension. I don't think Odoi's done that bad, but I don't think he's done enough to keep Fredericks out. So I expect him to start. Left back is an interesting one. Do you go with Malone, who absolutely got turned all over the place on Sunday, and drop him and play Sessegnon, who did well when he came on, admittedly as a winger or as an advanced player? I would bearing in mind it's Cottrell as well, so I'm really torn on this, but I think I would go with Malone again, being an away game and facing Cottrell. And I think for Malone's confidence, I think you've got to go with him as well. I think the centre backs, they go with Callis and Ream again. I haven't listened to your show the other day, but mixed reports. But actually, I thought Ream was our best defender on Sunday, so I don't see a change there. I would still go with Callis and Ream. Midfield three pick themselves unless McDonald hasn't shaken off the knock he had. So I would expect Park to come in if he isn't. And then up top, I think Aluko starts every game. So whenever we're looking at picking the front three, he always has one position. So it's the question is the other two. And I would actually this week, tomorrow, I would start with Martin and Piazon, and leave the speedy guys on the bench. But like I said earlier, this is possibly where we're going to see if Jokanović is looking to change maybe a little bit of style for a bit more directness. And when I say directness, I mean sort of pace-wise, not going long with the ball. So yeah, my front three are Luko, Martin and Piazon, preferably.
Okay, very good. Mike, I want to ask you again about Piazon. You talked about this earlier. Why do you think he hasn't tried him as that focal point?
I'm really not sure. Maybe, I mean, it's really odd because I suppose he thinks he hasn't got the strength, and he probably hasn't. But then, he has more strength than a couple of the other guys. But maybe he feels him cutting in from the left is a better role for him. But yeah, personally, I would be quite happy to see him start in that central position. But
Right.
it's a very odd one, and I'm not sure. I'd like to know his sort of thinking on that as well, to be honest.
Yeah, again, this is something that Emilio and I were just talking off air about. He hasn't tried him in that role, and I've been curious why he hasn't, because he looks like he could potentially do it, but Emilio was mentioning that maybe he's not strong enough, and maybe that's what it comes down to. But I'd like to see him give a shot. I think, I don't know. He looks like he could potentially do it. So I've always been curious why he hasn't tried him. If he's not going to play Martin in that role, why hasn't he tried Piazon in that role? So that's why I want to bring that up to you. All right, Mike, it's prediction time. Who do you have in this match?
Okay, well, I mean, I think we're back to the sort of we're always going to let a goal in, even with Callis back now. But it's only if it's going to be a goal, it's only going to be one, I think. So I'm going to go for a 2-1 for us tomorrow. Yeah, I think we're going to be okay. But yeah, we will let a goal in at some stage, I'm pretty sure.
I agree with that, Mike. I'm actually going to go 3-1. I'm going to go with whoscored.com. I don't know. I hate predicting 2-1. I like to give myself a little margin for error, so I'm going to say 3-1, and I'll probably be wrong as always, but I'm going to give it a shot. I'm going to say 3-1 to Fulham. It's a match that they desperately need, like we just were talking about. This is the easier of the two away matches coming up. This is the match I think they really need. They need the 3 points. I'm going 3-1 to Fulham. All right, Mike, thank you for at the last minute joining me. Final thoughts before we go.
No, just that it is a big week for us. Potentially it could be a disastrous week, couldn't it? Out the cup, and if we don't get results in the next two games, so win these two games, then we've got a month coming up of four home games and one away game. I mean, every game is tough, but there's some of the teams at the top playing each other over the next week or two. So yeah, if we can get 4 points, six preferably from these two games. we're going to be in a good position. So fingers crossed, really. It's that make or break week yet again.
It is Mike, and that's going to bring me to my final thoughts, and they involve Leeds United. I actually believe that Leeds United are going to be the team that Fulham need to target to get into the top six. I don't think it's going to be Sheffield Wednesday, Mike. You might disagree with me, but I think Sheffield Wednesday might just go on a run and be out of sight. I think it's going to end up being Leeds United. I see them as the team that's vulnerable. I remember watching them earlier in the year when I watched the replay, and I thought, man, how did we not get all 3 points against this team? I know it's a long way away. It was the beginning of the season. But I see them as the potential vulnerable team here. What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I mean, God, we're all hoping these teams are going to drop off. But I mean, at the moment, as it stands, it's in our hands, isn't it? You know, we're 9 points behind Leeds, 2 games in hand, and we have to play them. So win the 2 games in hand, beat them, we're level with them, we will have a better goal difference, and we're in a playoff position. So people who say we have no chance of making the playoffs are wrong, you know, because it's there, it's in our hands to at least catch up with one of the teams. And that's all we can really do at the moment is hang on to those sort of those little chance, those little buds that we're you know looking at. But yeah, I mean Leeds are in a bit of a free fall at the moment, and long may that continue. I can't believe Sheffield Wednesday are going to keep getting the results they're getting. As for the other positions, I think they've got enough points in the bank to they could have a couple of losses, but then just get a win back, and then they'd be away from us. So we're chasing leads with our eye on Sheffield Wednesday losing at some stage soon, please.
Very good there, my friend. Great show. Thank you again, Mike, for joining me. I've enjoyed this. Always enjoy doing a show with you, my friend. But it is time to go. For Mike Gregg, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk.